in Aspen, Colorado.
This is NPR News.
Next time on Ask Me Another...
We think he was the best Batman. We think he was the best Batman. We don't want a new Batman, even if it's Ben Affleck.
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, with VIPs John Hodgman, AJ Jacobs, and Liz Winstead. Jingle on.
Saturday morning at 11 on AM 580.
...2014 has been another fantastic year for WILL. We have delivered to you, our audience, outstanding local and national programs. Quality programs and services come at a cost. We seek to start 2015 on strong financial footing so we can continue to share the best that public radio has to offer. Our goal is to raise over $1 million by December 31st. Please help us to get there with your year-end gift. Call 217-244-9455 or go to willpledge.org.
Coming up on the next Tavis Smiley Show from PRI, former New York Schools Chancellor Joel Klein on how to fix our nation's schools, our extended two-part conversation with legendary TV producer Norman Lear continues, and classical guitarist Sharon Isbin shares her life and career in a new television documentary on the next Tavis Smiley Show from PRI.
Sunday afternoons at 2 on AM 580.
On a Friday, this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene. My friend and colleague Don Gagne and I covered the White House together for NPR. We shared a little radio booth in the basement of the West Wing. We shared notebooks, audio equipment, and an office computer. And that is where Don once found a music CD I had been listening to. Let's just say it was pop country. Don gave me a pretty hard time. He suggested I listen to some of the great traditional country music, and he has been suggesting albums to me ever since. All of this will make perfect sense when you listen to this encore story from Don Gagne about his first job and meeting a hero.
I have been in radio now for more than 30 years. My very first job, right out of college, I was a country western disc jockey.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Cowboy. But here comes the sun.
Bobcat friendly Ford time is 15 before 10 o'clock. Wayne, you're back from the fair.
Yes, I am.
Did you ride the zipper?
No, we had a power failure out there.
That's what I heard. I worked at the radio station in Monroe, Michigan. That's my hometown, mostly rural, pretty sleepy, located halfway between Detroit and Toledo. And in August of 1981, I was at the county fair. It was a Saturday night, and I remember standing there with my tape recorder and my microphone.
One, two, three, that's work.
Not too far from the Midway.
We're back with blank tape.
To my right, the grandstands where they do the demolition derby. To my left is this big silver tour bus, and I am about to meet one of my musical heroes.
Okay, getting ready to do the Johnny Cash press conference.
That's right, Johnny Cash.
And here's Johnny.
Hello.
How you doing, Johnny?
Hi, how you doing?
Welcome to Monroe.
Thank you.
I'm from WBMO, the radio station here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Just some background here. When I found out Johnny Cash was coming to the county fair, I tried to line up an interview. No response. Tried again. Nothing. Finally, a guy who worked at the fair said, if you stand here at this railing, his tour bus is there, the stage is there, maybe as he walks past, he'll stop and talk to you. He did.
Do you tour as much as you used to these days? Do you still get the thrill of being on the road as when you were younger?
Yeah, I still travel as much as I ever did. We're doing about 120 concerts this year.
How about, can you tell us a little bit about the new album, The Baron? Is it traditional Johnny Cash, or are you breaking any new ground there?
A big part of it's traditional. Of course, the title song was the reason for the album, The Baron, which was a fairly big seller for us, not a number one record, but Roseanne Cash wouldn't let me in the number one spot. A big part of it is traditional, yes.
You mentioned Roseanne. You're pretty pleased with the way things are going for her these days?
I'm very pleased with her. I'm very happy for her.
On the new album, you didn't write any of the songs. Do you prefer to write your own material, or do you...
Good song is a good song. I had several songs that I wrote and sang for the producer, and we recorded two or three of them, but as it turned out, mine weren't in it.
Do you have a favorite song that you've recorded?
I Walk the Line.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I walk the line.
Now remember, I arrived at the fair that day not knowing if he'd stop to talk to us, so I didn't have this big list of questions ready. And he kept talking, and he stood there even though I kept expecting him to walk away. So after a while, I raised what I didn't realize at the time, but was kind of a sore spot. Country music was becoming more pop, less pure country.
These days, a lot of country stars are starting to cross over into the national charts and have national hits.
As you say, it seems that the record companies are trying for a crossover, quote, hit. That's not what country music is all about to me. Generally, when I'm in charge of the production of my records, I try to record the best Johnny Cash song I can find and do it in a way that's comfortable for me. And hopefully the people will like it. And usually they're unadorned and not overproduced.
So now 5, 6, 7 minutes have passed, and I am out of questions. So I ask him,
how'd you get to be the man in black?
I cringe a little bit when I hear that question, but you got to love his answer.
For one reason, it's a little more slimming. And
okay, there was a little bit more to his answer.
I wrote a song called Man in Black about 1970. Mm-hmm. I don't know, in the song, you see where I pointed up some of the problems and the ills that we have in this country, but I point to myself as being one of those people responsible for correcting some of those problems and unfortunate things that happen to people here.
I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men.
Here's what I like about this interview all these years later. I didn't fully appreciate it at the time, but this was not a good point in Johnny Cash's life. That new album I asked him about, it flopped. He couldn't really get on country radio anymore. Folsom Prison had been 12 years earlier. It was another 12, 13 years before he would have that late career comeback. But on that day, he was way nicer to me than he had any reason to be. I was just this kid, you know, wearing a plaid shirt with a corduroy vest from some local radio station that he'd never heard of. But he took the time to answer all of my questions. Eventually, he had to wrap it up and head to the stage. He had a show to do. But just before he did, I ceased being this accidental journalist, and I let myself be a fan.
I'm on stage.
Can I get you a sign?
I brought with me the album sleeve from one of his recent LPs. I asked him if he'd sign it. I still have that signature.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
That was Don Gagne with his story of meeting the man in black during his first job as a disc jockey in Monroe, Michigan. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Our theme music was written by BJ Lederman. It was arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm David Green.
But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son.
Sometimes it seems like the news industry is one big runaway train headed way too fast, destination unknown. I'm Audie Cornish. At All Things Considered, we plan our daily voyage carefully and take the time to see the important sights along the way. Don't worry, we'll still get you where you need to go. All Things Considered from NPR News. Enjoy the journey.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana.
Good morning. The making of Vladimir Putin. We'll hear how the Russian media shapes the president's image and helps keep him in power. One author says it's about tapping into Russia's adoration of a gangster on Morning Edition from NPR News. Vladimir Putin's appeal extends beyond borders. We'll hear how the Kremlin is courting far-right opposition parties in Europe. Another disturbing trend for Western leaders, the aggressive behavior of Turkey's president, who plays a crucial role in NATO. I'm David Green, this hour to a midnight screening of The Interview, which after the Sony hack moved to independent theaters. Our colleagues saw it in a place with Christmas caroling and free hot cider. It is Friday, December 26th. Maybe Jon Snow knows nothing, but we know the guy who plays him on Game of Thrones, Kit Harington, turns 28 years old today. And the news is next.